Praise the Lord again, everybody. It's a wonderful day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. We want to take this time to say welcome to our broadcast, the Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Evansville, Indiana, where our pastor is Reverend Larry A. Rasko, Sr. We are just excited to have this opportunity to worship the Lord our God. And today we've come to worship him the way the Bible says, and that is in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to start our worship this morning. We're going to sing this song. And Brother Dwight, I know you remember this. And I know some of our senior saints will remember this song. It says, hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Song says, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. And hold to God's unchanging hand. Come on, clap your hands, everybody, right where you are. You might as well join in with us and help us sing. Everybody right where you are, hold!
Hold to his hand.
Say God's unchanging.
God's unchanging hand.
Hold to his hand.
Hold to his hand.
God's unchanging
God's
hand.
God's unchanging hand.
Feel your hope.
Feel your hope.
Come on, let's say it one more time, everybody. Let me say, hold,
hold to his hand.
God's unchanging hand.
God's unchanging hand.
Hold to his hand.
Hold to his hand.
God's unchanging hand.
God's unchanging hand.
Feel your hope.
Feel your hope. Something eternal.
And hold,
hold to God's unchanging hand.
Let's say it one more time. Hold,
hold to his hand.
God's unchanging. Put your hands together. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Come on, let's say it again. Hold,
hold to his hand.
God's unchanging.
God's unchanging.
Hold to his hand.
Hold to his hand.
God's unchanging hand.
God's unchanging hand.
Hold to God.
Hold to God.
Hold. Don't it feel like Sunday morning church? Somebody ought to make some noise. Anybody gonna hold on? I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm holding on, yeah. Oh, say hold to God.
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 Say build your hope. Anybody encouraged to hold on to God's unchanging hand? And I promise you, there are benefits to holding on to God's unchanging hand. And I know there's a witness that there are some benefits in holding on. We've come too far to let go. He's brought us too far for us to let go and turn back. But I'm encouraged that I will hold on, yeah. I wish I had. This next song says, trust in God.
Hallelujah. Let's stay in that same spirit. I've learned to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and I've learned to trust in God. No matter what the problem is, the situation is, God will work it out. We will see you through. Let's put our hands together. Problems in your life, tears are in your eyes, but things will work out fine if you
trust in God.
Yes, they will. Something's worrying you,
yeah,
and you don't know what to do, but He will see you through if you
trust in God.
Yeah. You don't have to cry.
Yeah.
You just dry your eyes, for your help is nigh if you
trust in God.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
and you just keep the faith. Continue and win the race. One day you'll see His face if you
trust in God.
Trust in God.
Trust in God.
Say trust in Him.
Trust in Him.
Trust in God. never leave
yes.
you, and he'll never forsake you. Everybody say, trust in God.
Trust in God.
Say, trust in him.
Trust in him.
Trust in his name.
Trust in God.
Yeah.
Trust in God.
Put all of your trust in God.
Trust in God.
Whatever you need.
Trust in him.
Praise the Lord. We'll now have our scripture and prayer. Am I supposed to do scripture and prayer?
Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 29. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Let us now bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for once again bringing us together. We thank you for keeping us safe another week. We thank you, oh Lord, for watching over our families and our loved ones. We pray right now, Lord, in these times that you continue to watch over us, that you continue to keep us safe. We pray right now, Lord, that your blessings continue to follow us, along with your grace and your mercy. Lord, we are asking you for your favor. For we live in a world that is far from you, Lord, and we need you just to make it through. We pray right now, Lord, about this upcoming election, Lord. We pray that we do our part, Lord, but more importantly, Lord, we pray right now that you speak to the hearts of each candidate, Lord. That you fill them with your spirit so that no matter who guides this nation, Lord, that this nation will be guided by you. Oh, we lift our government officials up to you. From the president to city council, Lord, let every one of them have an understanding of who you are and what your plans and purposes are. Lord, We continually ask you right now to show favor to our children as they go to schools. We pray right now that you keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, that this pandemic does not affect their performance, Lord, but they are able to exceed in the things that is placed in front of them, Lord. And lastly, Lord, we lift up your word today. We lift up every man of God. We lift up every man of God right now in the name of Jesus, that you give them a fresh word for your people, a word to lift them up, to encourage them and direct them, Lord, in the way that they should go. We give you praise and thanks for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, to God be the glory for all the things he has done. I know so many of you can testify that he has done great things. We've done, things have been a lot different lately, but we thank God that we've been able to continue to do the work, even though it's been different. But you know, God has expanded our territory and has caused us to do some things that we didn't think we could do, but we've been forced to do some things differently. And thank God it's working out. And one thing that was different this year for us is that you all know that we are a part of CAGE, Congregations Acting for Justice and Empowerment. And this year we were forced to have a virtual rally, and Nazarene is awarded this award for the highest attendance in the first ever virtual rally for CAGE. And so we are excited, and I'd just like to take this time to encourage you all to continue to participate in those activities. We have our listening process is started, and we will be hosting house meetings, and some of them will be done through Zoom, some will be done through phone calls, but be on the lookout. We will be contacting you because we want to hear from you, and we want to continue to do the work of justice, amen? And Pastor has told us over and over again that we are called to do justice. It's not something we just decide to do, but as people of faith, we are called to do justice. And so we want to continue the work. And so be encouraged. Pray that you all will continue to participate. We're going to sing another song, and then we will hear the word of God coming from our pastor, Pastor Rasko. They'll say, there is.
There is no way
I can live.
I can live without you.
Sing to me. I don't know where. There is. Say, I can go on.
I can go on.
The burdens
are too much
for me.
Yeah.
everybody, there is no way.
There is no way.
I can live
without you.
Yes. Let's say it again. Everybody.
No way.
There is no way.
You.
Hallelujah. Can you all help me thank God for our pastor as he comes to share the word of God with us this morning? God bless you, Pastor Rascal.
Thank you, Minister Hamler, and to all of the psalmists, and to the band, and each and every one of you. I know that I say this, every week, but I mean it. There are so many places that you could go to be in worship today. With just the click of a finger, you could be so many places in worship, but yet you've been kind enough to join us, and for that we are extremely grateful. We don't take that for granted. I'm going to be preaching today from Luke chapter 10. I'm going to quote the 29th verse in Luke chapter 10. But he wanted to justify himself, and he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Luke chapter 10, and that 29th verse says, he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Last week I talked about lessons on leadership, how God picks a leader, and I shared with you from 1 Samuel. We saw how God identified characteristics in leadership, and I think it's appropriate because as we have the privilege as believers to participate in a democracy whereby we can choose and pick our leaders, we ought to look for the things that God looks for. And in David, God saw somebody who was serving. He was serving, taking care of someone else's property, but he treated it like it was his own. We saw in David somebody who was singing. David was working in a hostile environment, but yet he was able to sing in the midst of hostile situations because he had hope and confidence in his God. And we saw a characteristic in David where David was always, seemed like every time you turn around, David was busy saving. He was saving those who were the least, the vulnerable. He was saving the sheep. He would go after them. And even when they were in the paws or the mouths of a hostile individual, he went to battle. I'm sure he asked Mr. Lion, Mr. Bear, that's my sheep that belongs to my father, give it back. But when they wouldn't give it back, he took it back. Amen. And the Bible tells what happens when they turned on him. Because sometimes when you take that which someone else is profiting from, folk will turn. They will turn on you. But he was not alone, and God was with him every step of the way. Today I want to talk about part two, lessons on leadership. And in this particular lesson, I think one of the marvelous, one of the greatest, one of the favorite stories of so many individuals in Scripture is right there in the middle of Luke chapter 10. And I want to entitle this second part of this message, Someone Who Demonstrates Neighbor. Someone Who Demonstrates Neighbor. We ought to look for a leader who is able to demonstrate, what it means to be a neighbor. The context of what's happening in Luke chapter 10, in the 25th verse, Jesus is minding his own business. Jesus is in a teaching setting. I don't know if it's in the synagogue. I don't know if it is in somebody's house. I don't know if it's outside. But Jesus is in a teaching setting. And in the 25th verse of Luke chapter 10, there's a real smart guy in the audience. He's an expert in the law. And the text says in the 25th verse that he stands up. He stands up to test Jesus. He's not standing to praise Jesus, to applaud Jesus, to encourage Jesus. His intention is to test Jesus. I want to share with you that the first thing I'd like to talk about in one of the things we see in Luke chapter 10, we see a confrontation. This man confronts Jesus. It's a confrontation. This man, he is arrogant, and when you read the whole story, you will discover that he's really not concerned about what it really takes to be saved. He's really concerned about putting the spotlight on himself. He's arrogant. He confronts Jesus, and he tests Jesus, and then in the 29th verse it says, and after he got the answer that Jesus gave him, he knew that he wasn't living up to the standard that he knew the law said he ought to live by. His question was, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you are the expert. What does the law say? And he says, well, it says that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, good job, bright one. Give him an A for the day. And Jesus was through with him. And Jesus was about to go on his way. But then as the man really sat there and thinking and pondering, he knew on the inside what Jesus already knew. Jesus was giving him a chance to go on his way, to mind his own business. But because he wanted to justify himself, that word justify is a word that says, in this context, this word justify, Walter, it means he wanted to make himself appear to be right. He wanted to look like he was right. He wanted to look like he was on the right side. Listen to the text. Because he wanted to justify himself. The only reason he continued the conversation was because he wanted to appear to be right in the eyes of the audience. He had stepped up to Jesus. Jesus didn't invite him, he invited himself. He stepped up to Jesus, and arrogantly, he stands up to Jesus and confronts him because he's really trying to embarrass Jesus. Jesus the carpenter, he's the lawyer. He's putting Jesus to the test. He's testing to see if Jesus the lawyer, if Jesus the carpenter could really answer all the questions from the lawyer. But he should have left Jesus alone. He confronts Jesus, and he wants to justify himself. He wants to appear before the eyes of the people that he's right. And one of the things I'll share with you, my beloved brothers and sisters, whenever you got somebody who's more concerned about what he looks like in the eyes of people, moreover than what he looks like in the eyes of God, that's not a really good leader. Have I got a witness here? It is really important to understand that when he answered the question, he answered it right. It's not either or, it's both and. The question was, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Part of that was loving God with all that is in you, your mind, your heart, your soul, your strength. Love God. And the other one is love your neighbor as yourself. It's not either or. You get some people, they want to love God, but they don't want to love people. And you got some people, they love people, but they don't want to love God. No, it's not either or. It's both and. Matter of fact, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but your love for God is seen in how you love people. Come here, Billy Garrett. Billy Garrett tells us all the time when he prays, doesn't he close out by saying, and how can we say we love God who we have not seen, and we hate our brother who we see every day? You ought to know that I love God by how I treat people. And on the flip side, how I treat people, you may not know why I do it, but if you search long enough, you'll see that I'm trying to flesh out my love for God. That's what we see in the cross. We see a vertical beam that stretches from heaven to earth, and we see a horizontal beam that reaches out to man. It's both. We love God and we love people. and we love man. And then the man, he couldn't help it because he wanted to look good in the eyes of the people. Jerry, he asked this question, not how do I love God? He didn't ask that question. His question was, well, who's my neighbor? He's an expert of the law, which means he'd been in school a while. He's an expert of the law, which means he done had some classes in sociology, humanity. He's an expert of the law, which means he done been through Exodus, Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. He's an expert of the law. He knows what the law says, but he now asks Jesus, I need you to define for me who is my neighbor. And Jesus, after the confrontation, he brings clarity. Watch this. The clarity is not for the man, because he's not really interested in learning anything. But the clarity is for the audience. I would suggest that this man already came to Jesus. He had a made-up mind and a closed mind. He was one of them folk who said, you can't tell me nothing. Yeah, but he asked only because he's wanting to look good in the eyes of people. And Jesus brings clarity. He brings clarity by telling this story. There was a man. One day, there was a man. Let's call him Joe Ellistein. Joe Ellistein. Jesus is implying that this man was a Jew. He was a man who was coming from Jerusalem on his way home on the notorious Jericho Road. Everybody knew it was a rough road. Some people say, well, this was just a made-up story. But no, everybody in those days knew how rough, how dangerous the Jericho Road was. They knew that you could get jacked up on the Jericho Road. And so Jesus knew that this is something that not only could have happened, but probably had happened. I don't know if he saw it on the news the night before, but clearly it's something that actually could have happened. And in this text, Jesus says, this guy doesn't give his name just for the benefit of your sake. I'm going to call him Joe Ellistein, Joseph Ellistein. He's traveling. He's trying to get home. He's been to Jerusalem. Been to church, and he's trying to get home. And on the way home, Jesus says, on the way home, he gets attacked by some robbers. Watch this. Jesus says he got jacked up by some robbers, plural, which means the man it was an unfair fight. It wasn't an equal playing field. Anybody willing to testify back in the day when your brother got into a scrap? It wasn't a problem if your brother got into a fight if it was one-on-one, except for Junior's family, because you fight one, you got to fight them all. That's another story, another sermon, another day. But typically, if it's one-on-one, then everything's cool. But if this is one against many, text says he was jacked up by some robbers. The text, watch what the text says. They beat him. They took his garments, they stripped him, wounded him, and they beat him pretty bad, because then the text says, and they left him, he was half dead. He's trying to get home, but along the way, sometimes you run into unequal playing fields. And sometimes, because the playing field is unequal, sometimes you can't stand your own ground. You want to, but you can't stand your own ground because there are many things against you, many things that are against you, and he falls victim to the robbers. They beat him. They low down. They so low down, they took his stuff and his clothes. Took his stuff. Hey, they took his iPhone. They took his iPhone because he couldn't text for help. He couldn't hit in case of emergency. He couldn't hit that button that would have automatically gone to his wife or gone to 911. He had none of those benefits, but they left him half alive. And I want to tell you, even when you're half alive, there's a benefit to that. Try not to get ahead of myself. Get back to that in a minute. But along the way, he's half dead. And Jesus says, and there was a priest. The priest was traveling. Watch the text. The same road. It was the same road. It was the same place, which means the same thing could have happened to him. Because it was the same road, got to the same place. It was just a different time. I want to tell you, isn't it marvelous that when you look back over your life, you discover that God really has kept you from some scene. Let me tell you how Grandmama used to say it, Amy. He's kept me from some seen and unseen dangers, because we've been down some of the same roads, been at some of the same spots. But if it had not been for the grace and the goodness of God, it could have been. Matter of fact, somebody said it like this: it should have been. It should have been me. But by the grace of God, the text says that the priest saw him. He saw him, and when he saw him, he put on his left hand turn signal, went into the passing lane, and passed on by. And Jesus says, that's all right, because in a minute here come another church worker. He's a Levi. And when you read it from the King James Version, it says the Levi, he saw him, and then he went to him, looked on him, and then passed on by the other side. And then lo and behold, Jesus says, it is a busy road. But a Samaritan came by. Well, you know, when you're dealing with Jews, clearly, Jesus is dealing with the social and cultural aspect of the two different races. You've got the Jews, and then you've got the non-Jews. The Jews considered themselves, we're from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're true blue Jews. But at one point, the Jews got separated, and they ended up, part of them ended up down in Babylon. Part of them ended up someplace else, and they were there a long time, and they intermarried. They intermarried, and so the true blue Jews called them other Jews, the half-breeds, the biracial folk, Samaritans. And they didn't like the Samaritans. Samaritans didn't like them because they were biracial. They weren't. But isn't it interesting in Scripture, you've got these individuals that are antagonistic. You've got these individuals with their own prejudices, and Jesus comes. And one of the things that I love about Jesus, you can't help but love Jesus, because even though there is a society that is divided, there is the society that has spiritual walls, there's a society that has the haves and the have-nots, Jesus interacts with everybody at any given time, even on holy days. Jesus goes beyond. Jesus shows us that it's not about what race, it's about one race, and that's the human race. And Jesus, over and over again, didn't he get in trouble when he blessed the Samaritans? Didn't he get in trouble when he talked to sinners? Didn't he get in trouble when he healed on the holy days? Because there was some other folk that were trying to dictate what Jesus could do and what he should do and what he could not do. But on this particular day, as Jesus talks to a smart Jewish lawyer who was trying to test Jesus, Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero. The Samaritan comes. Jesus says there was a Samaritan, and he came, and he not only looked on him, but let me paraphrase, he invested in him. He empowered him. He equipped him. The Samaritan, he took what he had, and he did what he could. Have I got a witness here? He don't know if he had EMT training, don't know that if he was a doctor, but he knew something about being sick, because he's been sick before. He knew something about healing wounds, because he's had wounds before. He knew something about getting out of harm's way, because no doubt he'd been in harm's way before. When you look at the text, this Samaritan did everything he could do. He was riding, and he got off his beast, And after pouring oil into the wound and dressing the wound, he put the man on his beast, held him, and made his way on into town. The story goes on to say, and when he got there, because he had some other pressing business, he took him to the inn, took care of him all night, and then the next day he says to the innkeeper, he says, listen, I know this isn't a hospital, I understand that, but if you would just have somebody look after him. I don't know his name. I don't know where he's from. I don't know if he's married. I don't know if he got children. I don't know if he got some grandbabies. I don't know if he owns a business. I don't know if he got any money, but here's what I do know. He's somebody I met along the way. And what I want to know is, will you look after him? Here's some money. Here's some extra money. And here's what I promise you. Give me the paper. I'll sign the note. I'll put my name down to let you know that if you spend more than I've already given you, I'm coming back this way again. And when I come back, I'm going to stop by here. And if you've spent more, I'll pay the tab. I'll pay the tab. I'll pay the tab. And then Jesus, after talking and explaining all of that, Jesus said to the smart man, to the lawyer, which one of these do you believe was a neighbor? He said, well, shoot, the one who had mercy, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. You need to know that the term neighbor was not something new. The term neighbor had been used in scripture over and over. Matter of fact, there's a scripture in Proverbs 27:10 said, a neighbor who's near is better than a brother who is far off, because a neighbor means to be helpful. A helpful neighbor who's near is better than my blood brother who's afar off, because neighbor means to be helpful. Neighbor not only means to be helpful, that's what we see this Samaritan does. He's not only helpful, but a neighbor also experiences intimacy. If you keep reading in Luke chapter 15, there was a woman who lost her coins. And when she lost the coins, somehow the neighbor found out, because she was looking for her coins. And if you read the text, it says, and when she found the coin, she called her friends and her neighbor and said, come on, rejoice with me, because the valuable thing that I lost has now been found. The shepherd, Luke 15, when he got back with that lost little lamb, he called his friends and his neighbor and said, hey, come on, rejoice with me, because the sheep that was lost is now found. The father who lost that son, and when the son came back, he killed the fatted calf. Now here's what you see in that part. In that one, he doesn't talk about neighbor, because it looked like the whole neighborhood was already there, because they were rejoicing and the music was going and the people were dancing. There was rejoicing going on. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Understanding neighbor was throughout scripture. Neighbor meant being helpful. Neighbor means somebody that you celebrate with because they care for you. You go to their children's graduation and they come to your children's graduation. You watch their kids and they watch your kids, because it's somebody that you have an intimate friendship with. Neighbors throughout scripture. In Proverbs chapter 14, 21, it says, the person that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that shows mercy happy is he. Because a neighbor is somebody that you want to see do well. A neighbor is somebody that you trust. Neighbor, you want to have the kind of neighbor that when you get ready to go on vacation, you can tell your neighbor, I'm getting ready to go away a few days, and I just want you to know, good neighbors will take your mail. Good neighbor, back in the day, they would pick up your newspaper. Good neighbors will watch over your household. I remember my mama and daddy, we had a whole marvelous neighborhood. On one side, we had Mother Sharp. On the other side, we had Pawpaw. Two doors down, we had the Goode family. Everybody was neighbors. And you could trust that if you were going out of town, that everything would be all right. Neighbor is somebody you don't mind giving a set of keys to your house. And you know that not only they not going to be running through your stuff, but they're going to protect your stuff. And the text in Proverbs 14:21 says, if you give your neighbor something to hold and somebody steals it, the person who steals it has to pay double, because it's a reflection not only on the neighbor, but it's a reflection on the neighbor who embraces responsibility to care for the other neighbor's property. We got to look for somebody. We need to look for somebody who understands what it means to be neighbor, not just in this land, but in the nation, in the world. Look for somebody who can demonstrate neighbor, which means when you really have a good understanding of neighbor, not all your sentences are filled with I. Somewhere on the line, you ought to be thinking about others. I close this little message with this, because when Jesus tells this story, and the man closes with, well, we should do what the Samaritan did. And Jesus says, you're right. That's what you ought to go do. When you leave church, that's what you need to go do. And you know what will happen when we do that? There will be celebration. You see, one of the things that's happening in the midst of our country that we've got to deal with right now, we've got a pandemic on top of the pandemic on top of the pandemic. We got two of them were here all the time. One comes every 4 years. We've had the pandemic of racism that has been finally uncovered to some people. Isn't it interesting how a lot of black people are hearing from white people, and white people are asking black people, how do you feel? And black people are saying, we've been dealing with this all the time. We're just waiting for you to clean your glasses. But it's been something that's been here all the time. We got to struggle with unjust laws. That's another pandemic. We got a law. It's interesting. I was listening the other day as the verdict for the police officers that were involved in the killing of Breonna Taylor. I was listening to the verdict. It was interesting because the verdict said one of the officers was charged with wanton endangerment. That's a felony. Wanton endangerment because when he shot his gun, some of his bullets went through the wall into the neighbor's apartment. And the law said he put somebody on the other side of the apartment in danger when he dislodged them bullets and they went through the wall to an apartment where some people were living on the other side. The bullets didn't hit nobody, but just the mere fact that they went through the wall, he's guilty of wanton endangerment. It's a felony. The people who were walking in protest, same level, they were arrested. It's a felony of wanton endangerment. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm scratching all of my head because I'm trying to figure out, how do you charge a person for putting a bullet through a wall that didn't hit nobody on the other side, but you can't charge a person for putting bullets in a woman. Bullets through walls, because somebody lived on the other side, could have been in danger, but bullets in a woman who sleep in her own house, and there's no charge at all. Y'all, we living in a pandemic. On top of a pandemic, we've got this systematic racism, we've got some laws that aren't right, and we're in the midst of an election where there's so much divisiveness. And I want to share with you that if we're going to get through this, you're going to have to know a little something about triage. T-R-I-A-G-E, triage. Triage is the ability to understand what's who to serve, who to deal with first. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a struggle, because do we deal with these unjust laws? Do we deal with the systematic racism? Do we deal with this division in our country? Which one do you deal with first? It's going to be difficult, but I'm so grateful that when the Samaritan came upon the brother who was hurting, when he came upon the brother who was half dead, he knew something about triage. Yes, there's need to be a public policy where we get somebody on this road to keep folk from getting jacked up. That's true. Yes, we ought to get some lights. Somebody ought to install some lights on this highway so that people won't be able to hide and then jack you up in the dark. Yes, that's right. But y'all, in the meantime, while we're doing all of that stuff, somebody got to deal with the people that's half dead. Have I got a witness here? Laws? Yes, that's good. Voting? Yes, that's good. But right now, there's some folk that are half dead. How you gonna do it? Well, you're gonna have to learn something about triage. But I thank God for my friend. I got a friend named Muhammad Kayyum. Muhammad Kayyum, we were faced with a difficult situation one time. We had a dilemma because there was something that wasn't good, and we needed to work on that, but we also needed to stretch a little further. And Muhammad Kayyum said, you know, I think we're smart enough to walk and chew gum at the same time. Hey, I didn't make it up. Muhammad Kayyum, who's the provost of USI, he said, every now and then, you're going to be faced with a whole bunch of stuff, and all of the things need to be addressed. But you got to learn how to walk and chew gum at the same time. Sometimes you've got to multitask. Sometimes you got to work on one thing while you're praying about something else. Have I got a witness here? You got to work on one thing, keep praying about something else. And when you do what you can do with what you have, there ultimately will be celebration. There's gonna be some celebration. There's some folk, they didn't die in vain. There will be celebration. Laws are going to change, because sometimes you gotta see how wrong they are before you can make things better. There will be celebration. Folk didn't die in vain. Brianna didn't die in vain. George didn't die in vain. There will be celebration. I know there's a whole lot of talk, but God is the one that sovereignly, I'm going to vote, but God's going to make his choice. There will be celebration. Now let me tell you who gets to celebrate. The person that was raised, they get to celebrate. The person that helped raise them, they get to celebrate. The innkeeper, he gets to celebrate, because everybody played a part in putting this man back on his feet. Everybody gets to celebrate. Do what you can with what you have right where you are, and then one day everybody gets to celebrate. Have I got a witness here? They killed Jesus on Friday. Somebody Somebody said, surely this was the Son of God. Other people were running. Other people were scared. But on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And we've been celebrating ever since. You might be down, but we serve a God that can pick you up. You might be last, but we serve a God that can make you first. We look for somebody who understands what it means to be neighbor. And so you leave this place. And watch out. You got to know something about triage. Go on, register. Go on, ask for your mail-in ballot. We've already done it. And you do what you're supposed to when you can. And we're going to trust God to be God. We're going to trust God to be God. And one day, if you keep on reading the Bible, you'll discover there's going to come a time that Jesus will come back and he shall reign, and the saints will reign with him, and everybody will see what he intended in a kingdom that sincerely and truly operates under the will of God. Somebody looking at me right now, y'all, there's some tough stuff that all of us have to deal with. You're not going to be able to change all of it by yourself. But here's what that man did. As neighbor, he was helpful. As neighbor, he was sincere. As neighbor, he took the resources he had to empower others. And we don't know the end of the story, but we are the end of the story. We're here today because of the good gospel that has been preached and Jesus Christ, who has shared just how much God loves his children, so much that he sent his own son, how much Jesus really loves us, that he died for our sins and God raised him from the dead. And if you'll place your faith in him, God will adopt you into his family, and you too can now pray, "Our Father, my Father," and he'll hear your cry. Somebody looking at me right now, perhaps you've never received the Lord as your Savior. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can repeat after me. I want to be a child of God. And Father, I admit that I'm a sinner and I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Come into my heart right now, save me, and help me to be what you want me to be, because I truly believe in you. Amen. And so I thank God for you. Perhaps you prayed that prayer. Perhaps you don't have a church family to call your own. I want you to know that it won't be long. We're going to be getting back together again. And I'm so excited. I can hardly wait to see you, to see those who have connected with the family. We're going to have a number of celebrations when we come back together. We're going to celebrate those who have connected with the church. We're going to celebrate those who've gone on to be with the Lord. We've got a lot of celebration to do. And we're going to celebrate that the Lord has kept us in the midst of all these things. Know that you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Know that you'll have to make some priorities. But know that God is moving. God is still in charge. He's in control. Hey, family, it's time for the offering. I want to encourage you. You can use Givelify, PayPal. Many of you bring your offerings here, and for that we are so grateful. God has blessed us, and we are really close to preparing to come back in person. No, for a fact. I've said this before. I'll say it again. We understand what the governor states, and we're at level 5 now. I understand that, but we're not operating by what the governor says. I'm following the unction of the Holy Spirit, because the truth is, you know that this pandemic has affected black folk, brown folk at a much higher level than others. And so we're being careful. We are working on our protocols. We've got some things in place. We're excited about that. And we'll be sharing with you that when we do come back, we're going to be wearing masks. We're going to be sitting in a checkerboard, and so we're going to do everything we can to. There is no perfect sanitation. Let's get that straight. There is no perfect set. This pandemic. This is something you can't see. People are working real hard. They're trying to come up with ways to swab stuff and see if it's there, and they're training dogs to sniff it out. But this is something that you can't see. And so at best, it's COVID suppression. COVID suppression. There's no absolute sanitation. It's COVID suppression. And that's what we are preparing for in our protocols. And so you pray for us. You pray for us, and we will be letting you know real soon, how and when we will be coming back, anticipating sometime in November. But we're gonna be prayerful, and we're excited, looking forward to seeing you. I'm going to close in prayer today, and I want to ask that you please join with me as I lift up some individuals in prayer. I want to ask that you please remember our lead organizer, Sister Amy. Amy has a daughter who is going to receive some amazing treatment, and we're going to be praying for Amy and praying for your daughter. I want you to please remember Brother Haskins, Brother Charles Haskins. Please remember him in prayer, beloved man, beloved trustee of our church for many, many years. You please remember him. Brother John Bush, please remember John and remember him in prayer. Ask that you do that. Mother Imogene Lowry, she's one of our neighbors and beloved mother. I want you to please remember her. Brother Phil Raspberry, he's doing much better. He's in the thick of physical therapy, and y'all know how tough that can be. But you pray for Brother Phil. And then I want you to please remember the Brooks family. We celebrated the homegoing of Dr. Anthony Brooks yesterday. What a great man of God. I want to ask that you please remember the 7th Street Missionary Baptist Church. He served there for many, many, many years. And we thank God for him and thank God for that ministry. And we want to celebrate the new pastor of New Hope. And we thank God for him. And we look forward to them having an awesome new season with that leadership. So would you join me in prayer? And God, I want to say thank you again. Thank you again for another day. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for scripture that teaches us how to operate in a way that is pleasing in your sight. We thank you for neighbor, not just somebody next door, but those that dwell in the land. Neighbor, someone who's helpful. Neighbor, someone who cares about me. Neighbor, somebody who can rejoice with me. Neighbor, somebody who wants to see me do good. Neighbor, someone who wants to extend mercy. It's my prayer, dear God, that even in our country, our nation, that you will reveal, that you will impress upon us, help, oh God, that our leaders will be people who understand neighbor. May they demonstrate it for the nation, and may they demonstrate it for the world, that so that when we say one nation under God, that it'll really mean something. There's a lot of things we're called to do. We can't do them all at the same time. But God, give us wisdom so that we will be able to walk and chew gum even at the same time. We can trust you and work at the same time. We can trust you and serve even at the same time. Bless my mother. Strengthen my father. You be with them day by day. And when they get tired, thank you for loving siblings and caregivers. You give us wisdom to know what to do next. And we're going to trust you in all things. We thank you till we meet again. May the Lord bless you. May his face smile upon you. May he give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.